one day.
Good morning, Barbados, and welcome to another edition of the Because He Lives program. As usual, before we begin, we want to express thanks to our sponsors, Federal Mortar Spears, and the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. Over the last 2 weeks, we have set out on a journey answering the question, who is this man? Me, Dario Richards, and my wife, Linda Richards, we have been reading through the book of Mark, looking to answer this question that Jesus' disciples would have asked him while they were on a lake where a storm arose, and then Jesus just spoke to the storm and calmed the seas. And they asked the question, who is this man? What manner of man is this? Last week, we began answering this question, and we realized that through the passages that we read, that this man has authority over demons and over evil. We saw very clearly as Jesus came on the scene and cast out demons from individuals who were suffering for very long periods of time, even to the point where the demons themselves answer the question, who is this man, by addressing Jesus as who he truly is. As we continue this series, we want to find another answer, because we realize then as well that Jesus is multidimensional. There are many components of who he is and what he can do. So far we know he has authority over demons, over evil. Now, let's answer this question again from the scriptures. Go ahead and read for us, Lynn.
Good morning, Barbados. We're reading from Mark chapter 1. From verses 40 to 45, and I'm reading from the New International Version. It reads, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere.
Well, so we learned last week that this man, Jesus, is a man who has authority over demons. And as we read the passage this week, we learn as well that this man, Jesus, is one who has authority over disease, over sickness. And I think it is important that we highlight this because it gives us even deeper insight into the nature of who Jesus is. You know, as we think about disease, and we read the book of Genesis, we would know or we would see very clearly that sickness and disease was not a part of God's original creation. Yeah. We see that sickness and disease becomes a part of the curse. It becomes a consequence of the fall of man. And as a result of our disobedience, as a result of walking away from God's word and God's precepts, now we find ourselves in a world that has to not only deal with demons and evil, but also have to deal with this thing called disease, with sickness. And as we know, there are a plethora of diseases. There are diseases that don't just affect us physically. Mm-hmm. There are some that affect us mentally. And it is important that we have this discussion, because I know that there are many people, including myself, who struggle and are dealing with some diseases, physical diseases. I know there are many people who may be listening to this program as well, who are suffering and dealing with mental diseases. And I think it is so critical that we explore what Jesus's position is as it relates to his authority over diseases and the implications that it has for us. So Are there any other reasons you were adding as to why this is important?
Yeah, because many times when we think about sickness, we can often limit it to the physical. But diseases in that day especially was also cultural. Like, there were really serious cultural implications. For the Jews, if you had certain ailments, certain diseases, you were considered unclean. And so you couldn't associate with certain persons. You couldn't go to the temple. You had to be isolated. For example, this man with leprosy, he had to be away from everybody else, living on the outskirts, basically ostracized. But persons with mental illness, it was the same. And so we see the impact not just on the physical, but on the entire aspect of the person's life and well-being. And when we think about our own culture today, there are still diseases or illnesses that cause people to be restricted. They're afraid to come out and say, okay, I'm struggling with this. I had this diagnosis, because they don't want to be isolated. They don't want to be ostracized. They don't want to hear well-meaning but offensive statements mm-hmm. about their faith or anything else. And I can think about things like, you know, a thing that's currently current, mental illness. Mm-hmm. So if you have been diagnosed with something, people immediately start making comments. And then in certain instances, you may not be able to say, oh, I feel depressed today. Because the general response is, oh, you need to pray. You need to have more faith. You need to do this without acknowledging the impact on the person. And so I think that's why it's important for us to kind of just see how Jesus responds when we think about diseases.
Yeah, no, I think it's so good that you mentioned that, because I think we oftentimes overlook the impact of sickness and disease on an individual's life, especially if it's a chronic illness or a seemingly incurable disease by scientific standards. I know, as somebody who has dealt and wrestled with sickle cells my entire life, I don't think people often grasp the impact that wrestling with a disease has on your life in a holistic way. Mm-hmm. It's not just dealing with the physical pain. And the thing about persons who have physical diseases is also a mental component to it. Like I always say, when I experience painful sickle cell crises, sometimes the need to ask for help or to engage people to assist while I'm in the crisis does sometimes feel more painful than the crisis itself, And the psychological, just the realities of dealing and walking with a chronic disease, having to think about so many different things, can't engage in activities like everybody else would. There's a mental component of it that you also struggle with when you have the physical disease. Then that reality then affects your relationships, as a husband with 3 young children, if I have a crisis, that automatically means that in my whole soul that there's one less adult to help to manage all of the responsibilities of the home, and that has an impact on the home as well, on my ability to do what I need to do to relate with my children at different points. I also remember too, as a child, having the experience of other children knowing that I have sickle cells, and when they come to play, they don't want to play, because if I play, I might get sick. So sickness has a holistic impact on the life of an individual, and can be a primary source of people feeling imprisoned, as we discussed last week, of people feeling restricted, of people not being able to fully experience life as originally intended. And I think as we think about just the weight of the impact that disease can have, it automatically then begins to give us some insight into just the multidimensional nature of Jesus in addressing disease. Because based on what you have shared, it then sounds to me like Jesus's authority over disease is not just a signal of, he could touch you and you are healed, but there are multiple components that go into that process. So would you like to explore that a bit more?
Yeah, that's great. So when we talk about Jesus's power over disease, we're basically talking about Jesus's power to restore our lives, to bring restoration and healing, not just to our body physically, but healing to the other aspects of our life. Because as he heals us physically, this helps to restore our relationships and, our mental well-being, other aspects of our life. And so when we think about Jesus's multidimensional power, one of the first things is obviously his power. Jesus has divine power to heal. He is the great physician, like we like to see. So there is no illness, regardless of whether we think it's possible that the disease can be cured or not, Jesus isn't bound by those limitations. He has the power to touch the incurable and to bring healing. And we see this very clearly. It's simple for us now because we know we can deal with aspects of leprosy in our time. But in that time, leprosy meant stay away because we don't want to infect anybody else because then we have so many people we cannot help. Jesus comes on the scene. This person is here. And remember, he's not supposed to be around people. But this person is here. And Jesus can do something that nobody else can do. He can address a problem that nobody else has the power to address. And so I think this is the first dimension we must look at, that Jesus can. It doesn't matter where you are, what stage of illness you have, what you're grappling with. The bottom line is Jesus can. When society says no, Jesus can. When society says stay away, Jesus can. When you feel that it doesn't even make sense getting up and going to the pool like that man in the book of John, you feel like I've tried to do this for so long. It's been 30 something years and I still can't get better. Jesus can. And I think that's the foundational point there.
I think that's so critical, you know, because when you become familiar with something, it impacts your faith. You know, it impacts your ability to keep believing that your circumstances or your state can change. But I love the fact how we begin on the reminder that no matter what it is, no matter how long we have been wrestling with it, that Jesus can. He remains powerful enough to be able to heal us of our diseases and our infirmities. And I think it's so critical that we keep that in front of us, that as we go through life, as we encounter people who are dealing with these different issues, to remember that Jesus can. He has the power to heal and the power to deliver. I think that's a really good place for us to start as we shape our perspective on Jesus' authority over disease.
Yes. And the other point there too, it's not just he can, but he actually wants to. As you check other versions of the Bible, the Greek words on the line, verse 41, it says that Jesus was filled with compassion. Jesus saw the man. And I think for many of us, well, probably for Jesus, he wasn't just seeing the leprosy, the illness. He was seeing all the other dimensions, I'm assuming now, right? But the point was Jesus was filled with compassion. And I think that's very important for us because it reminds us that we're not in this alone. Jesus comes alongside us. He is moved with compassion for our circumstances and our situations. And when we think about diseases, I also started to think about things that we may want as well. Women who may want to have children or men as well, you know. So there are other aspects of our life where we may feel that we need physical healing. And sometimes wrestling with those things by ourselves brings us to a place of loneliness, depression, further isolation, etc. And we're wondering, you know, who can I bring these problems to? Jesus. Because he just doesn't have the power, but he actually wants to touch us. He actually wants to make us better. In many passages of scripture, we see that Jesus was moved with compassion. He has a deep love for us, and he wants to restore us completely. And so that's another aspect of it.
I think that's so good. And, you know, and again, just using my own personal experience, like I have felt on multiple occasions that people just don't understand. Like you can't understand, you can't identify, unless it is that you are experiencing this pain that I'm currently experiencing, you don't have a clue either of the, you know, the nature of the pain or the feelings and thoughts and the mental, you know, the mental engagement that happens around it. And I think it is so critical what you highlighted, that we understand even in the midst of our pain and in our suffering that there is one person who can fully and totally understand, you know, who is able to identify with how we feel and the experience that we are having, you know. And I always joke and say, you know, it's one thing to meet somebody who is able to help you, you know. But everybody who's able to help you, they aren't always willing. You know, you can meet somebody who have the resources, who have the capacity. Like, they can change your life overnight. They have more than the ability, but ability doesn't mean willingness. And I'm glad to know that we have a savior that in this man called Jesus, is not just ability, but willingness to be able to step in to our pain and to do something about it. Yeah, that's really good as well.
Yeah, and I love that even when we talk about him wanting to do it, that he does it with such humanity. Mm-hmm. When we look at this passage of scripture, Jesus could have just spoken the word. But for me, he was very intentional about reaching out and touching somebody that was considered in society and the Jewish culture to be unclean, to be defiled. Jesus was willing to touch this man and become ritually defiled to heal him as well. And for me, that just shows like the depth of his love and his interest in us, where he reaches out and touches him. Mm-hmm. And it reminds us that Jesus isn't bound by the same rules of society or in society. He lives outside of that.
Correct.
And so Jesus is able to go places that other people cannot. He is able to go to the depths of your situation. Mm. He is willing to hug you, to comfort you, to bring you into him, because he isn't worried that you can infect him. Right? He isn't worried that if you touch him or if he gets too close, he might get sick as well. He might get ill. So Jesus was willing to be considered ritually unclean by touching this man, by getting close enough to this man to let him know, I see you. I am concerned about you. I love you. And you are still valuable to me. And this is what I see coming out of this passage. So Jesus' power over diseases reminds us that he is willing to become ritually defiled to heal you.
Yeah, to step into our space.
To step into our mess and our disease and our infections to bring healing.
Yeah.
And if it's one person we don't have to avoid, it's God.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, no, that's so good. You know, like, he isn't bound by science. He isn't bound by the report of the doctors. He isn't bound by the social structures. He can supersede all of these things to reach us where we are at. And I think, you know, like, as even as we reflect on this, just answering the question of who is this man and seeing his authority, his power over disease, which has crippled the lives of so many people, is so encouraging again to hear that there is a man who's willing to come in, who's willing to understand, who's willing to act, you know, who's willing to do what is necessary to see us made whole again.
And I think this is important as well, because in some instances God doesn't always take away the disease. And so there are places like Paul where you have to live with the thorn. Right? And that means some persons are living with illnesses or diseases that would cause them to be ostracized or set aside. And I think the power of the point that Jesus is willing to touch means that even when society says, stay away, Jesus says, I'm coming closer. I am touching you. I am embracing you in this place where you feel like you shouldn't be around people. For me, this passage is a reminder that Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to reaffirm your identity and your value as a person, because I am coming to meet you where you are. I am not afraid of your illness. I am not concerned about what other people will see. I am coming to you. I am touching you. I am reminding you that you matter. And so it doesn't matter where we are. Jesus is able and he's willing. He says, I am willing, be clean. And so he is coming to you to reaffirm your value and your importance to him.
Yeah, and it's so good that you mentioned that, you know. And again, throughout this episode, you will hear me consistently pointing at just my own experience. And the truth is, how I like to think about it, because obviously I fit in the category of an individual who has been praying or has been prayed for concerning healing, and it's still wrestle with this sickle cells thing. But one of the things that have jumped out to me in my own journey that I have reflected on significantly is the fact that there are some things that happen in my life with me having sickle cells that I know is the direct hand of God that appeared to be more miraculous than if he had completely moved the entire disease, you know? And they say that because, like, if anybody knows the disease and knows the things that trigger sickle cell's crises, you know, a lack of oxygen, I shouldn't get too hot, I shouldn't get too cold, I shouldn't spend too much time flying in the airplane. There are just so many different things that God has opened doors for me to do that I should not be able to do with the disease that I carry or that I am wrestling with. Mm-hmm. And it is in those things, those doors that God opened, where the first question is be, like, how you can do this with sickle cells? And then trusting that this is where God is leading me, taking a step and doing it, and seeing that as the miracle. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like the miracle in, yeah, you got this thing, but God is able, even in the midst of having this, mm-hmm. to still perform miracles, to show himself strong, to open doors and provide opportunities and spaces. There were times where I was certain it would be impossible for me to get this thing done, you know, because of sickle cells. But yet, by the grace of God, I was able to see how he led me in it, led me through it. So sometimes the miracle isn't the complete removal or eradication of the disease itself. But the miracle sometimes is that while we have this, that God is going to give us grace to be labeled by a group of people as, oh, Dario has sickle cells. But at the same time, oftentimes they go to the doctor and the doctors marvel, but you was doing what? You know, like your blood count is what? You know, it's like, yeah, it's like in the midst of it, miracles are still happening. God is still showing his ability, his power and authority over the disease from the perspective of, despite having this, I will still allow you and empower you to be able to do certain things. So I think it is important that we still see the miracle. We still see where God is at work, that he can completely eradicate and heal the disease from your life. And then there are times that even in the midst of the disease, he shows his authority and power over the disease by allowing you to be able to function and do things that you naturally should not be able to do, even though this is a diagnosis that you have. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yes, just recapping Jesus's power over diseases and the multidimensional impact it has on our lives, we are reminded, first of all, that Jesus can, that he can address any problem that we are facing, that he wants to do it. He is moved and filled with compassion for our challenges and the things that bring us pain. And he is willing to come into our spaces where other people may not come. He's willing to go against the cultural rules to bring us healing. And he's not limited or bound by those. But then also, just finally, that our healing is a demonstration of his power. It's a testimony to others about this man who can do the impossible, who can do above and beyond our expectations. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about the power, even in this passage of scripture here, we see that this man, when Jesus healed him, he went around and it became a testimony to others. Other people saw what Jesus did and what Jesus could do, and they were amazed at him. Mm-hmm. And it showed just a clear, again, contrast between the religious leaders who just had the knowledge versus God, who had the authority and the power. And it was a reminder of who he was, the reminder of the coming Messiah who would heal and set captives free. And so this is the power that we have available to us as we are in this season. And as we think about all that God has done for us, we are reminded that he also has power to address our illnesses, to address our infirmities, to address our shortcomings. And where he doesn't take the thorn away, we are also reminded that he gives us the power that in our weakness, we are made strong because of him. And so we can be grateful that we serve such an amazing, wonderful God.
Yeah. You know, this is good for me. This is a good reminder of Jesus's authority over disease. You know, that I never become so comfortable. We never become so comfortable with the different diseases, the different ailments that we struggle with, that we lose sight of the power of God in the midst of it. That we have a father who could heal us at any point. Mm-hmm. And equally, we have a father who has more than enough grace that in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, that we still see his miraculous hand in how he uses us and uses our lives to bring freedom and liberty to others. Jesus definitely has authority over diseases. So yeah, so we are on our way. We started the first, we asking the question, who is this man? Who is this man? Then we saw that this man has authority over demons. And today we discover that he has authority over disease. All right. And I hope as you are listening to this radio broadcast, that is also helping you to step into some reflection about your own experience, your own struggles. But more importantly than thinking about our own struggles and the things that are affecting us, I hope your vision of Jesus is being expanded. That you're seeing him better, you're seeing him more accurately for who he is, and the impact and transformation that he can bring to your life.
Yeah, so it also may not be you struggling with the disease, but you may know someone who is. And so let's remember that Jesus can. So go to them, pray for them, lift them up before God who is powerful and able. Remember that Jesus has compassion. Let's respond in the same way to others. Respond with love and compassion. Mm-hmm. And be willing to surround and embrace those who are ostracized and who are forced on the outside of society because of their challenges.
Really good. Yes. So blessings. I hope that you were encouraged. I hope that this is challenging you and that we continue to see Jesus and answer clearly in our heart who this man is. One final announcement from us is Nazarene Day is coming up in April. And just listen into this announcement as we look forward to Nazarene Day and we spend some time as a family playing, worshiping, and having some sweet fellowship together. God bless you, and I hope that you are clear so far on who is this man. Because he-